This show is supported by State Farm. You have insurance for your home, your health, and your car. Why don't you have insurance for your small business? So many small business owners think they don't need or don't even know about small business insurance. Protecting a source of revenue is one thing, but so is protecting all of your hard work and your team members. State Farm agents are all small business owners too, so they know how to help small business owners choose personalized policies that fit their budgets. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
If your roof starts to leak or your floors really squeak, you live in a money pit.
Money pit.
If your basement needs a pump or your place looks like a dump, you live in a money pit.
Money pit.
Pick up the telephone, fix up your home sweet home. I call it 888 Money Pit.
Money Pit is presented by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, Kohler Power, and LG Red. Now, here are Tom and Leslie.
Coast to coast and floorboards to shingles, this is the Money Pit Home Improvement Show. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
And we are here for you. So what are you working on? What are you trying to get done? What are you planning for now? Is there a last-minute project you want to get done before the end of the year? Is there a project you want to take on next year, next winter? Maybe you want to cut that energy bill. Maybe you want to think ahead to some outdoor living improvements. Whatever is on your to-do list, you can put it on our to-do list by calling us with those questions at 1-888-MONEYPIT or posting them to moneypit.com. Just click the blue microphone button because that's what we do. We are here for you to help you get those projects underway. Hey, coming up on today's show, are you thinking about taking on a big reno project in the new year? Well, more than 90% of homeowners are doing just that. We're going to take a look at the top projects on those to-do lists and what they actually might cost you.
And also ahead, does your home suffer from old, worn, or even dated wallpaper? Well, removing it isn't as hard as you might think. All right, listen, it's kind of hard, but it's totally worth it if you want to make the wallpaper go away.
Yeah, we'll make it easier.
Yeah, we're definitely going to make it easier. We're going to share the steps that will also help make it go a little bit more quickly. So stick around if you want to get rid of that wallpaper.
Once and for all. And you love all the colorful trees that we've seen over fall, but you dread dragging piles of leaves to the curb? Well, got a better idea. Why not compost those leaves so they can benefit next year's garden? We'll share the step-by-step.
But first, what are you guys working on? You need some help with a renovation? Maybe you've got a repair or a decor project? Well, whatever it is you are dealing with this very busy time of year, let us help you out with your to-do list. So give us a call.
The number here is 1-888-MONEYPIT or post your questions on moneypit.com by clicking the blue microphone button. And we've also got some tools to give away today from Arrow Fastener. We've got the cordless 5-in-1 professional staple and nail gun going out to one listener drawn at random. If you want that to be you, you got to reach out with your questions. Let's get started. Leslie, who's first?
Heading over to Texas, where we've got Lisa on the line, who's got a question about outlets. What's going on at your money pit?
Hi. We have an older home. It was built in 1960. And in some areas of the home, there are older outlets with only two holes. And then in some other rooms, we have outlets that have three holes. So my first question is it safe to leave them as they are with just the two holes, or should we have all consistent outlets within this house?
Well, certainly you're talking about two different types of wiring, and the wiring, the outlets that have three that have the ground plus the two prongs, that's a grounded wire, which is basically run separately. The ones that have the two prongs is basically a two-wire system, and the ground is done through the box itself. So, is it safe? It can be safe. It's not as safe or as durable, I would say, as having the modern outlets, but it's just not a matter of switching out the outlets. You have to make sure you have the wiring there to support it. Now, if you're going to plug something that has three prongs into the two prong, you have to use an adapter, and then you have to actually attach the adapter using the center screw in between the outlets, because that's how you're picking up a ground. And even doing that doesn't necessarily mean it's grounded, because, you know, who knows how those were put together behind the walls. So if you want to be sure, you could have an electrician check them all out and find out if you will be creating a grounded situation if you use that adapter or not. But if you're going to do some upgrading, I never think it's a bad idea to upgrade your wiring and make it safe and make it current.
I see. Well, that is very helpful to know. And that is something we can definitely take care of and contact Actually, a friend of the family who's an electrician, so we can remedy that problem.
Excellent. All right. Well, good luck with that project.
Thank you so much. And you guys have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.
Now we've got Mark in Kansas on the line who's got a question about a countertop. What's going on?
Well, we have a Formica countertop. It's darker, and my wife is wanting something lighter, and I'm wondering, do I have to replace it, or can't I put something over it?
No, actually, there's a product that you can replace that, or you can actually cover that top with. It's made by a company called Daich Coatings, D-A-I-C-H. I actually just used the product myself in the last few months, and it's called Lux Rock, L-U-X-R-O-C-K. They also have another version called Mineral Select, and essentially, these are products where you put on a primer, and then once the primer dries, you put on a coat of the Lux Rock, you let that dry, and then you very carefully sand it, and what you see come through are like all the flakes of different colors of like gold, for example, that you would see in a granite piece. And once you reveal that and you're sort of happy with that appearance, then you put on like an epoxy top coat, and that sort of locks it all in. So in my case, I had a really old kitchen, and I had the option to go over the old top, which I would have been happy to do, but I was reconfiguring cabinets, so I decided I would build a countertop myself from scratch using plywood. And when people said, you're going to put a plywood countertop in? Well, I got to tell you, I had friends that saw this Luxrock product after it was complete, and they were kind of like, what do you mean that's not granite? They're like looking at it, they can't see anything that tells them it's not granite. I finally had to turn a piece of the top upside down and prove it wasn't granite. That's how darn good it looks. So check out DaichCoatings.com, DaichCoatings.com. You'll find those products there. They're really good at this, and I was very happy that I made that choice.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, on this show, we not only give you the answers to your home improvement questions, sometimes we get a chance to give you the tools to get them done. And today, from our friends at Arrow, we've got the cordless 5-in-1 professional staple and nail gun to give away. It's worth $75, includes a year's worth of staples and nails and brads and stuff. It's a great tool for upholstery, for woodworking, maybe doing some insulation, maybe doing some crafts. And I love the fact that it's cordless. It actually has a battery that can fire over 1,000 shots on a charge. That's going to go out to one caller drawn at random. If you'd like it to be you, you got to reach out with your questions to 1-888-MONEYPIT.
Everyone should know that drinking water is important to staying hydrated and healthy. Having safe, clean water is the last thing you want to worry about. But unfortunately, according to extensive research by the Environmental Working Group, 3 out of 4 homes in America have harmful contaminants right in its tap water.
That's why we are thrilled to be working with AquaTrue. AquaTrue purifiers use a 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process, and their countertop purifiers work with no installation or plumbing. It removes 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters and is specifically designed to combat chemicals like PFAS in your water supply. And they have water purifiers to fit every type of home, from installation-free countertop purifiers to higher capacity under-sink options. They even have a Wi-Fi connected purifier and mineral boost options.
And its proprietary purification technology is independently tested by IAPMO to NSF and ANSI standards to remove over 80 of the most harmful contaminants, including chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, PFAS known as forever chemicals, nitrate, and many more. I can truly taste the difference when I compare it with my old water filter. AquaTrue saves you money also. Just one set of filters from their classic purifier makes the equivalent of 4,500 bottles of water. That's less than 3 cents a bottle. Plus, you'll save the environment from tons of plastic waste.
AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee and even makes a great gift. And today, Money Pit listeners can receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. Just go to AquaTrue.com, that's AquaTrue.com, and enter code MONEYPIT at checkout. That's 20% off any AquaTrue water purifier when you go to AquaTrue.com and use promo code MONEYPIT, MONEYPIT.
Anne's doing some work in the kitchen and looking to add an undermount sink, but the counter is wood. Tell us about this project.
Well, I was more looking for your opinion of whether I should use a wood countertop for an undermount sink. I know they've got some pretty good hardwood countertops that may or may not be, but I'm looking for the long haul. We're at an age where we're going to be retiring within the next few years, and I don't want to have to replace something.
Well, first of all, you're talking about a wood kitchen countertop here or a bathroom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For both, actually, but...
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're looking for a low-maintenance countertop, you should not be looking at wood. It's going to be a huge amount of work to take care of. Under mounted sink or not, it's a lot of work. You know, you're going to seal it and you're going to varnish it. And I don't know if you want to have an area for chopping, but that's a whole other set of circumstances in terms of how you treat that, because the finish has to be non-toxic. But it is a lot of work. So if you're looking for maintenance free, I would definitely not suggest that. Leslie, what do you think are probably the easiest to care for countertops these days?
I mean, I love a natural stone countertop, but are they the easiest to take care of? Not so much. I mean, the composite stones out there, there's a couple of different brands that you can see. There's quartz, there's quartzite. They're beautiful, they're durable, they're easy to maintain, and they come in a variety of price points as well. I think when you go with a solid surface like that, it's much better for an undermount sink as far as maintenance and durability. And then if you go with a quartzite product, there's so many different, you know, colors, tones, sort of textures to choose from, that you'll be able to find something in your price point in a look that you like.
I'm just looking to push the crumbs into the sink.
I hear you. Well, you can have an under countertop, and that's fine. It's just that, you know, I think you called us because you want to know if that was a good installation, but then when you mentioned you're trying to look for something that's maintenance free, I'm telling you, wood is a ton of work to take care of.
It's so pretty, though.
It is pretty.
Especially with creamy white cabinets.
Yeah, well, listen, you can have some beautiful wood cabinets, but the countertop, I would definitely not go with wood.
Okay.
Good luck, Ann. Thanks for calling us at 888 Money Pit.
Thank you very much.
Well, are you ready to tackle a home remodeling project in this new year coming up? Well, according to a survey by Clever Real Estate of nearly 1,000 homeowners, 93% of them are planning one project within the next 5 years. But what are the most popular projects and how much should you be budgeting?
Well, the leading focus is on upgrading outdoor spaces. We've got 43% of Americans are planning new landscaping or fencing or yard improvements, and 37% are planning a new or refinished patio deck or a porch. And also along the top choices is installing a pool. That's planned by about 23% of homeowners. Now, inside the house, we're looking at projects like new and refinished flooring, 36% choosing that. Bathroom remodels, always popular. New windows, 29%. Kitchen remodels at 27%. And bedroom or living room remodels at 25%. Seeing a lot of reasons to stay home and enjoy that house. Love to see that that's a carryover from the pandemic. I think Americans are falling in love again with their homes.
I mean, I really think it's great to do the projects at your home where you're going to be spending the most time. But in terms of budget now, nearly 1 in 5 homeowners spent at least $10,000 on improvements last year, and about 1/3 spent $5,000 or more. Now, to pay for those repairs, 56% are going to tap into their savings, 44% are going to pay with cash, and 41% are planning to use their credit cards so that they can, you know, use the points to take a good vacation.
I'll tell you what, we do that all the time.
I do too.
You got to do more vacations, but if the vendor takes a credit card, I love using the credit card and then get the points and then just paying off the credit card. That's what you got to make sure you do. If you don't pay it off, then it catches up with you quick,
yeah.
Right? But those points really do add up.
Agreed.
So whether you're doing it yourself or you're having someone do it for you, there's a lot to consider when planning and budgeting your next big home improvement project, which is why now is a really good time to think about those projects and get planning for the year ahead. This is the Money Pit Home Improvement Show. We are planning to be here to answer your questions in the year ahead, but you can call right now and get the answers to your questions that have to get done maybe before the end of the year. So the number here is 1-888-MONEYPIT, 888-666-3974.
We've got Dana in Massachusetts on the line who's dealing with some peeling paint. Tell us what's happening.
Yes, on our north side where it gets very little sunlight, we were painting it. It was painted before, but we were repainting it and where it was chipping. And we did put down some primer first, and then we painted it. And then it keeps bubbling and chipping after we're done painting it.
Wow. So even though you put down primer, it still seems to keep separating. Is it separating from a layer deeper than the primer coat? Like, cause sometimes with multiple coats of paint, it'll break down deeper in the surface, like one of the earlier coats of paint.
I don't I don't think it is. Someone said that what they thought might have happened is the first time it was painted, that the painters might have painted it. I don't even know if they put primer down. They might have put one coat, and they might have painted it right after a rainstorm when the wood was still wet.
Well, maybe, maybe not. But the thing is, if they didn't prime it, then that's the reason it's separating. Primer is always really important because it really makes the color coat stick, so to speak. So if you've got peely paint, there's no way that you can go over that with new paint because you can't put good paint over bad paint. It's just going to continue to peel. So you got to get down to a surface that's below all that loose stuff. Now, if it's a big area, you can prime the whole thing. If it's small areas that are sort of separated, then you can do what's called spot priming. And just to be absolutely certain, when you go to the home center or the paint store, I would get a bonding primer, which is very adhesive, and it really sticks to those old surfaces no matter what's there. And then once that's all set up, then you can go ahead and put another finish coat on top, and you should be good to go.
So we'd have to completely like strip the paint, is what you're saying, and then
I
put
am.
Down...
Yep, I am. Unfortunately, if it's not sticking, it's not sticking. You just can't go over it. It's just going to be worse.
Bonding primer, you said, and then paint it again?
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
And that'll solve it. Yeah, you got it, Dana. Good luck with the project.
Thank you.
Marie in Florida is on the line, who's looking for a easier way to clean some windows around the house. What's going on?
Yes, I'm lazy. and I've been reading the ads, you know, and spray and forget. Is there a window cleaner that I can use on the outside that I could just spray and then forget?
Okay. Yeah, so Spray and Forget's a fine product, and that's designed to clean mold and mildew and algae and moss off of siding and roofs and surfaces like that and sidewalks. In terms of windows, so you're looking for a product you spray on and just does the cleaning for you, and I'm not aware of anything that does exactly that. I think that is a job that is always, once and forever, going to need our own personal touch.
Well, I mean, I feel like anything that you're going to spray on and leave on is going to leave a streak. Because you know you've got to completely remove whatever cleaning formula you put on there. Otherwise, it will streak or cloud or do something unusual. So that's the issue with cleaning glass. It's not like a product you can spray on a siding and let it sort of do the work.
Yeah, there's a line of products that we like. They're cleaning products, including window cleaners, made by a company called Jaws, J-A-W-S. It's JawsCleans.com. These are products that where they sell you the concentrate and a mix and a bottle. And for a fraction of the cost of buying one that's already mixed up at the store, you can get a dozen or more bottles full of this stuff by mixing it yourself with the concentrate. And I like it because it doesn't leave any streaks. And I told the guy that owns the company, who I've become friendly with, that I keep a bottle on my desk in my office because I clean computer screens and glasses with it. So you might want to take a look at that, JawsCleans.com. I think there's a promo code there for the Money Pit that'll get you 20% off if you just enter Money Pit in the promo box. And that might be a product that's so easy to use that it wouldn't be so bad for you to have to clean those windows yourself.
Okay, that sounds pretty good. I have like 20 windows, and I don't want to clean them.
You know, you can always hire a pro. There's folks out there that's all they do. Well, good luck with that project. Thanks so much for calling us at the Money Pit.
Okay, thank you.
This show is supported by State Farm. Insurance is a part of any solid financial plan. Making sure you have the important things in life covered is one of the best ways to give yourself a little breathing room when things go awry. It's important to protect not only your business, but yourself as a business owner and all current and future team members. State Farm agents know what it takes to run and protect a small business because State Farm agents are all small business owners and they live and work in your community. So they're deeply attuned to what's happening with other small businesses in your market. If you have a small business and are interested in making sure you're protected, reach out to your local State Farm agent to learn more about what you need. They'll help you find the right policy at the right price for your business. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Joe in Delaware is on the line with a question about a metal roof. What can we do for you?
I'm looking for a roof that has standing seam, and it's about maybe 24 or 30 inches wide, but I want a good roof now. Do they make them in different grades of metal? Like, do they have like a 20-year or a 50-year roof?
Well, if you're talking about a metal roof, I mean, that's going to be more like a 50 to 100-year roof that when it's done right. Yeah, there's a really good website that will educate you thoroughly about metal roofing, and it's done by a manufacturer's association. It's called the Metal Roofing Alliance. It's simply metalroofing.com. And they've got a great section about metal roofing 101 and all of the basics and all the options for you to consider when it comes to metal roofing. But I tell you, it's never been better because, first of all, metal roofing has always been great because if you ever see an old building with a metal roof, it's been properly maintained. It's still probably in good structural shape because they just don't wear out. But today, the metal roofing is not only made better, it's coated with low-E paint so that when the sun beats down on it, it can reflect a lot of the heat off of the roof, and that lowers your cooling cost too. So I would definitely consider it. It's an investment-grade roof in the sense that you're going to have to do it once and do it right, and you're not going to have to do it again for 100 years, you know? So, you know, it lasts forever. It's fire-resistant, so I would definitely consider it.
I mean, they look really good, too.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
All right. Thank you very much.
Mary from Arkansas is on the line, who's having some issues locating a water line for a filter. What's going on with this mystery?
I need a whole house water filter, but I live in a subdivision, and all of the lines are buried underground, and I don't know how to locate where it comes into my house, and I don't know what to do about it.
Even though they're underground, that's very typical. You're going to have to locate the main water valve, and that is going to be inside your house somewhere. Now, I don't know what kind of house you have. Is it on a slab? Is it on a crawl space? Is it on a basement?
It's on a slab, and it is brick house.
It's brick. Okay. So generally where that line comes into the house, there is going to be a valve. It's pretty much required that there's a valve. And that's the area where the whole house water filter would get attached. It basically is inserted after the valve, after the main water valve, and then they put another valve next to it, so it kind of isolates that section of pipe. But you need to identify where that's coming in. Now, all I could tell you is that typically water lines will feed from the street, so it's going to be on that side of the house, and I have found them in many, many different places in my career as a home inspector. I have found them behind wall panels. I have found them inside sink cabinets where it doesn't really even look like a main water valve, yet it's there. I found them in closets. I have found them in attics. It's going to be there somewhere, and that's going to be the trick, trying to identify where that is. But I imagine this is not something you're going to install yourself, and certainly it will be part of what a plumber would do for you.
All right, then I just need to get a good plumber and start looking.
That's right. That's right. Kind of a scavenger
okay.
hunt, Mary. Good luck with that project. Thanks for calling us at 888 Money Pit.
Well, if you've been staring at some old, worn-out wallpaper, but you're really putting off removing it because you know it requires a lot of hassle, I totally get it. But you know what, guys? You got to try to separate the wallpaper from the wall, and that definitely requires some hard work, some patience, and a whole heck of a lot of persistence. But if you understand the options for removal, you can save some time, a lot of energy, and a lot of hassle in your quest to make that wallpaper disappear. I mean, there's really only 4 steps that you need to follow here, guys.
Yeah, that's right. So first step is to score the wallpaper, not as in take score. No, as in cut. Just cut the wallpaper. You're going to use a utility knife or a wallpaper scorer to create small holes in the paper. And that's going to allow steam, which we'll talk about in just a moment, to penetrate through to the adhesive. Now, keep in mind, the closer and more abundant the scored holes, the smaller the pieces of paper pulled off. So if you prefer to remove wallpaper in larger sheets, score less. Kind of a trade-off, because if you score less, it might be harder to get off. So you have to try to score as little as possible. Let's put it that way. Now, back to steam. Yes, renting a steamer, definitely worth the cost and the hassle. Working from the top down, you want to steam and remove one section of wallpaper at a time.
Now, if that wallpaper is really hanging on and just not coming off, you want to start with a solution. Now, you can use hot water and fabric softener, and you want to mix it in equal parts, 1-to-1. Then pour that solution into a spray bottle, and you need to apply it to those tough to remove spaces, but you've got to work quickly because that solution is going to lose its effectiveness after about
15 minutes. Now, once that wallpaper is removed, you have to prep the wall so that it'll really take nicely to that new paint and primer. So you want to mix a solution of distilled white vinegar and water, and that's going to remove any remaining glue that's on the wall. And then you do need to wait until that surface is completely dry. Make sure you apply a primer and then paint, or pick out a new wallpaper because they're really, really beautiful today. Totally beautiful.
Now, listen, if this still seems to be like way too much work, you might be wondering if painting or wallpapering over the existing wallpaper is an option. And yeah, it's an option, but it's not recommended because painting over wallpaper jeopardizes the integrity of the space, which could factor into a buyer's interest down the road. And even more, it makes the next paint or wallpaper removal job that much tougher because now you're trying to pierce through the paint and the paper to get it off. So do it once, do it right, and you won't have to do it again.
All right, heading out to Arizona, we've got Jim on the line. What's going on at your money pit?
It's a pretty simple product that I've not seen.
Okay.
It's like a typical house with a kitchen sink and two bowls in the kitchen sink.
Okay.
A small one and a large one.
Yep.
And a smaller one, we typically will put soap and warm water in the morning to wash the morning dishes. And then by an hour, that water is cold soapy water.
Right.
And I got to thinking, there's got to be some kind of an insulating blanket that you could buy or manufacture or somehow create to keep that water warm and that wastewater warming it up again.
That's an interesting idea. I don't think there's a commercial product for that. I've never seen it. But if you happen to have a very cold under cabinet area, I could see where that could potentially be annoying. So your challenge would be just simply to insulate this as much as possible. Now, along the back wall, where the back of the cabinet is on an exterior wall, if you could add a piece of foam insulation, which is available in all sorts of thicknesses, so it depends on what you have and how you can get it back in, you're probably going to have to cut it in pieces. That will help a little bit. On the bowl itself, one idea that I would have is that you may be able to spray this with foam insulation like a Great Stuff. Now, there's two different types of Great Stuff. One is designed to expand, and one is designed not to expand. And if you use the one that doesn't expand, it's not going to like stretch your cabinet frame or anything like that. It's the kind that's designed for windows and doors, because what would happen is people would use the expandable foam insulation in a window or door cavity, and then it would swell so much, would expand so much, the window gets stuck shut where it was. So if you use the kind that's designed for windows and doors, you may be able to get that. It's pretty sticky stuff. It may be able to adhere to the underside of that sink. And so I think this is going to be an experiment to see if you can figure out something that works. So I understand the question, but doesn't have a straight, you know, forward, this is the product designed for that, because it's just not something that I think you're going to find available. So you got to get creative, which means you got to form your own insulation. And lastly, you know, you could just take a piece of fiberglass blanket, maybe one that's encapsulated on both sides. There's different types of encapsulated insulation, and create your own blanket around there, and maybe with a series of zip ties, hold it in place. So I think you're going to have to design your own, sir, okay, because I don't think it's available commercially.
So maybe I just get some blue board and glue. And
go for it. Yep. All right. Good luck with that project, sir. Thanks so much for calling us at 888-MONEY-PIT.
Bye.
Hey, are you guys big fans of entertaining friends and family over the holidays? Perhaps you're doing it right now. Well, don't miss out on the Money Pit Holiday Entertaining Sweepstakes. We've got over $1,000 in prizes that are up for grabs.
That's right. We're giving away a gorgeous Energy Star rated new refrigerator from LG with contoured doors, hidden hinges, and a host of amazing interior features. It's a 7-cubic-foot unit, which is the perfect sort of backup size, right? So you'll always have room for extra holiday food and drink.
Now, we've also got a bunch of $100 gift cards to Omaha Steaks to give away, and those make great gifts as well as a delicious way to stock your own freezer for the holidays and entertaining.
Plus, everyone who enters will receive a special Money Pit promo code for Omaha Steaks worth $30. Plus, it'll get you free shipping. You can enter once a day right now at moneypit.com/sweepstakes. That's moneypit.com/sweepstakes.
Cindy in Illinois is on the line with a basement question. What's going on?
I've lived in my home for over 40 years and had no trouble with water in the basement. And then about 3 years ago, we had a terrible drought here. And it seems like ever since then, if we get a hard rain, I end up with water coming up through the floor of the basement.
So the reason you're getting water that comes up through the floor of the basement in the hard rain is because there's some defect in your drainage conditions outside the house. So you need to start by looking at the roof and making sure your gutter system is clean and making sure the downspouts are extended away from the house. It should be out 3 or 4 feet. If that's all in good shape, then I would take a look at the angle of the dirt around the house, the grade. If it's really flat or if there's an area where it's tilting in or you're getting neighboring water from runoff from a different lot or something of that nature, you've got to regrade to keep the water away from the house. The only way it's getting down there is it's coming from the top and pushing under. It's not a rising water table because that takes months to happen. If it's reactive to the rain, then it's a problem with drainage, Cindy. So you need to look carefully in that area, and I'm certain you'll find the cause of it and be able to stop it. All right, good luck with that project. Thanks so much for calling us at 888-MONEY-PIT. Hey, guys, are you enjoying the beautiful fall colors, but maybe you are dreading dragging all those piles of leaves to the curb? Well, hey, we got a better idea. Why not compost those leaves instead? This way they can benefit next year's garden.
Yeah, you know, leaves really do make great compost because trees pull nutrients from deep beneath the surface. And adding those leaves to your compost pile is going to make your compost contain nutrients that garden plants can't typically reach on their own.
Now, the leaves are also good for insulating plants to protect them from big temperature changes in the winter. And the leaves are also going to attract earthworms that will help break the leaves down into beneficial leaf mold and compost to create the perfect garden soil. Nutrient-rich, loose, friable, and well-drained. And this way you'll have even more reason to enjoy those gorgeous autumn leaves now that you know how beneficial they're going to be in your garden next spring.
Russell in Rhode Island is on the line, and he's having some trouble finding the correct hardware for doors and drawers. What is going on?
Drawer knobs and hardware that we're looking to replace.
So we're looking for kitchen cabinets?
Yes, yeah.
Are you trying to match something, or you want all brand new?
We would be replacing everything.
I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty straightforward project. Are these cabinets pretty old?
No. It's a 3-inch center on the hardware. And we've been around to a couple of different places and not really liking what we see.
There are a lot of great cabinet hardware websites online where you can find just an incredible variety of products out there. You can pretty much find whatever you want. So, you know, you can start with the basics like Home Depot, but then, you know, you have a lot of specialty shops. There's a website called knobsforless.com. There's one called My Knobs.
All right.
A site called Signature Hardware. And, you know, you can see lots of photos and you can see the measurements, the center by center measurements on these handles.
Yeah.
That's the trick. You want to make sure you match it because otherwise you're going to be trying to cover up holes and repair things.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
And check the depth of the screws to make sure that they're going to be thick enough for your doors.
Right.
This really shouldn't be difficult. It's true there are fairly limited, you know, styles and designs when you go to the home centers because they have to sell to the mass market. But there's a lot of really stepped up hardware out there online these days.
All right, cool. Excellent.
Even Restoration Hardware, too, I think, has a good
Restoration
selection.
Hardware has beautiful pieces.
Oh, yeah. I've forgotten about them.
I also really love Anthropologie. Like, if you're looking, which is a women's clothing store, but if you're looking for something that's like a little quirky and maybe has an interesting feel to it, I always check them out, too.
Anthropologie? Okay.
And it's with an IE at the end.
Yep. Okay. Excellent. All right. Well, thank you, folks, and love the show.
Well, thank you.
Joanne in Ohio reached out to Team Money Pit, and she says, my house is full of skylights, 7 of them, and they constantly leak. Now, the added light isn't necessary, so I'd like to get rid of them, but I have no idea where to start. Is it something I can do myself, or do I need to hire a contractor, and what should my first steps be?
I feel like Joanne has a negative impression of skylights. I mean, after having 7 and having 7 that leak, that's not normal, Joanne. Whoever put those skylights in or whatever brand you chose was not for you. It sounds like they were definitely not done right. Because that kind of failure is very, very unusual. So if you want to rethink the skylights, you know, take a look at Anderson skylights or Pella skylights or Velux skylights. Much better quality skylights, and they don't leak. Once they're put in, you're good to go. But if you do want to take them out, you kind of have a project here where you have to remove the skylights. You have to remove the shingles around the skylights first. Then you will disassemble the skylights, and then you will resheathe the roof, put new plywood sheathing in, and then you will reshingle. You end up having to replace a lot of that roofing in this process. But that's only half of the battle because inside you're going to have what we call the well, which is sort of the area between the skylight inside surface and your ceiling. And that's going to have to be rebuilt, basically, if you want to have a flat ceiling. It's an awful lot of work. maybe, Leslie, I'm thinking if she leaves those wells in place, is there a way that maybe we could think of a way to sort of decorate those former skylights and make them look a little bit better? Maybe she could put some lighting up there or something. What do you think?
Now, Joanne, when Tom's talking about the light shaft or the well, I mean, that's basically the space in your ceiling from where the skylight is to the end of the ceiling itself. So sometimes you get, you know, a deeper area. Sometimes it's more shallow. It really depends on your roof type. That's usually a finished area with drywall, so it does look completed, and it sort of just, you know, divots into where that skylight itself is. So Tom's right. I mean, replacing it is definitely a good option, because to rebuild out that ceiling to sort of accommodate for that area that's been dug out, if you will, you have to kind of rebuild that whole area to make it flush and uniform. But if, you know, you replace the skylight, then maybe you can add something over there to help finish the space more, or kind of disguise it a little bit better, or, you know, add some plants, add some lighting. You can do a couple of things that will take advantage of the sunlight that's coming in, but also sort of, you know, give you a different sort of look for the space. I mean, there's definitely some things you can do, but sort of rebuilding that whole roofline is going to be a big, big project.
That's why I think just replacing the skylights with the ones that don't leak is the best option. All right, so Sue in Illinois says, one of our countertops is about 2 foot of butcher block. We put in new countertops and sanded down the butcher block to fresh wood. Should I apply anything to that wood? Yes, you should. You should apply a food-grade oil to that wood. You don't want to use – there are butcher block finishes, by the way, that are non-toxic. You could use those, or you could use a food-grade oil. That's really important, because if you don't, first of all, it's going to absorb more than you want it to. And you've got to have something in there to stop that from happening, because if you're not careful, if these wood tops are not carefully maintained, you can get like meat juice and fish juice and stuff in there, and that can become toxic. You know, you have an E. coli risk. So it's real important to seal them and then to maintain them as clean as possible.
Yes, Sue, I don't know that butcher block is the best choice for sanitary reasons. It's a lot of cleaning to get rid of bacteria. But if you're up for the work and refinishing and re-oiling, then I say go for it.
This is the Money Pit Home Improvement Show on a beautiful fall weekend. Hey, if you guys are getting ready for the holidays which remain and trying to get your house spruced up for all the company they're going to stop by, well, we can help. You can reach us with those questions 24/7 at 888 Money Pit, or better yet, post your questions anytime at moneypit.com by clicking the blue microphone button. But for now, that's all the time we have. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
Remember, you can do it yourself,
but you don't have to do it alone.
Thanks to State Farm for supporting this show and helping our listeners protect their businesses and lives. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.